what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant,
but he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
When troubles call and your back's to the wall, there's a lot to be learned. That wall could fall.
Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes. Come fly with me, let's fly.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to those with eyes and ears to the gathering offering. This is February 18th, 2010, in pagan time. In the Lord's time, this is the 111th Jubilee, the third week, the fourth year, the 12th month, and the 17th day. Also, this is the seventh week of this 26-week, if you will, offering or course that I'm doing here for folks. At the beginning, I must always take care of a responsibility and a duty. Our Father who art in heaven, I praise you and I bless you, as I praise and bless your only begotten Son, the Christ. Father, I ask you to allow those with eyes and ears to do a number of things. One is to listen to the music at the end of this one-hour offering. Allow individuals not to want to rush in, to proceed without opening their eyes, to proceed without listening to this entire 26 weeks course. Father, I am very aware of this is how people get into trouble, without them doing complete due diligence. Father, I know people are trying, and I know they are anxious. And I ask you to give them some patience. And please, I need a whole bunch of patience too. Thank you so very much. And I praise you and bless you. And as always, it will be thy will that is done, and not just my words or my thoughts. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, there have been an awful lot of folks that have been calling, and they're wanting to get into issues that are coming down the road. I apologize for my incompetence of not being able to jam, 6 weeks or 26 weeks of stuff into, 55 minutes. And I also further apologize for the fact that through the course of this 26 weeks, I doubt if I will be able to get into 30 to 40% of the stuff that, I'll be able to get 30 to 40% of the stuff out that I would like to get out. Maybe somehow this year there'll be a real good hay crop and I can afford to, somehow come up with, 2 hours at a time. Please be patient. The music that is played on this one-hour offering is not just for entertainment. The words there are designed, in my mind at least, for you to be able to gain something. Now, one other thing, just as a small announcement. This coming Wednesday, from 7 to 9 o'clock in the morning, I am scheduled to be on the Morning Liberty Show, which is on a competing network, RBN. And RJ has asked me to come on for 2 hours. I'm not exactly sure what we're going to talk about. That's up to him. But anyway, If you're interested, you might want to listen to another 2 hours from 7 to 9 o'clock this coming Wednesday on the Morning Liberty Show on RBN. Thank you. Now, this week, we're going to jump into something, Chapter 3. And while I'm on that, people have asked me, well, why didn't you do all of Chapter 1 and then go to Chapter 2 and proceed? Well, that's not the way that I believe that individuals can learn this. I think that individuals need to have a little bit of this and a little bit of that and see it start to come together. And by the way, there's only 7 chapters in this little course. And there will only be parts A, B, C, and D in each of the 7 chapters. And so this is not like it's, you know, going to be 50 chapters long. And I don't know how to make that much more simple, but we're building a notebook, if you will. And as we go along, I add things. I build it up. All of the material's not there, because I don't want everybody reading everything they want. I don't think that they can get it by reading, just sitting down and reading everything. Now, maybe my mind is just not competent enough to have gotten all this at one time when I did it, but I had to get a little here and a little bit there and start fitting the pieces together. And so the way that I learned it is the way that I'm offering it. And that's the best I can do. Anyway, we're going to get into Chapter 3. This is entitled, What One Man Can Do, Another Man Can Do. Providing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1:7. Probably one of my most favorite verses in Scripture. And providing, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you're not one of his sheep, he doesn't know you, and you're not going to follow him. I'm not trying to talk to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that's an idiot out there. I'm not talking to any Canaanites except to say, hey, guess what? Your time in the lake of the fire is approaching. And providing. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. That's John 12:26. And I apologize, in the previous verse I did not read that was John 10:27. The above verses are the can-do and can-do attitude. That is how we proceed, is with our proper attitude, providing we've already accepted and understood that our Master is the Christ. If you don't have that in you, you know, you could go listen to some hip-hop music, listen to some homies, something like that, because this isn't going to do you any good. I'm convinced of that. Now I'm going to move into the title of what we're doing today, which is Part A, Status. The character or characters of one's status. And I'm going to read a quote to you. This is from a U.S. Supreme Court case. It would verge on incompetence for a lawyer to file an initial pleading without researching such issues as jurisdiction, venue, standing, exhaustion of remedies, proper parties, plaintiff and defendant, and types of relief available. Now, if you got a pencil and a piece of paper, this is a real important case. And I'm going to read the entire site out to you, please. And I hope you'll write it down. Bounds, B-O-U-N-D-S, V, Smith, 430, U.S., 817, 97, S, period, C, T, period, 1491, and this was decided in 1977. This is probably one of the most important cases to have the annotated, photocopied out of a law book case to have in your little backpack of arrows. Without this case, you know, you really are going to have an awful lot of ammunition not available to you. Through learning this case in Orlando, Florida, I forced the Orange County government to spend $17 million upgrading their county jail. It took 30 days after learning what is inside this case, which is the Cruz v. Hawk case. I won't give you the site. You can go find it. And also, there's a case in there called the Younger case. 30 days after filing paperwork, Orange County's government, their sheriff's department, had to come up with a $17 million emergency bond issue to correct their prison. I thought that was pretty powerful. Now, I didn't do it. All I did was read it, learn how to do something. Because I didn't know how to do it ahead of time, so I found this case. And, of course, when I found this case, actually some practicing attorneys thought I was, you know, crazy. They said, well, of course I'm crazy, but I'm not stupid. And it says that they've got to do this. The Cruz v. Hawk case is in the Bounds case. The Bounds case is about state prisons. The Cruz v. Hawk case had been defeated at the U.S. Supreme Court. However, because Vernon Bounds, because he brought in the Younger case in his work, the U.S. Supreme Court went back on their own volition, reopened the Cruz v. Hawk case, which was about county jails, and said, we're going to reverse our previous decision, and we're going to make it mandatory for all the counties to have a jail library. Vernon Bounds was a hero. He did this sitting in a jail cell. And he fought this for years and years and years, and he was a hero. He was a genuine American hero. I wish there was some way I could shake hands with that man. Can you imagine going to the United States Supreme Court and kicking tail from a jail cell? Wowie. Would we all not learn a lot if we could have, you know, if there was some way, I'd gladly turn over this whole hour to Vernon Bounds and I'd just sit here and keep my mouth shut. Love to hear what that man had to say. I don't even know if Mr. Bounds is still alive, but he sure did one heck of a job. So I spent a lot of time on that, and I'm trying to tell you this is very, very important. You cannot go out there and start getting involved with coming out of Babylon without having a few real good arrows in your backpack. This is one of them. All right, now, I want you to think, without researching such issues as jurisdiction, that's what I'm talking about. How many attorneys, go ask a bunch of them, how many attorneys have actually done a challenge of jurisdiction in their entire careers? They don't do it. Oh, they may challenge and say, well, it was supposed to go from this state to another state. They don't challenge the entire issue. This is what this program or this one-hour offering is about today. Challenge the entire issue. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to give you a Supreme Court decision that's going to blow you away. And I'm going to give you the entire site. I'm not going to give it to you today. And people say, well, why not? Well, because we got more on our plate today than we can do, but I'm going to tell you there's some big ones out there, folks. All right. It may be incompetent for a lawyer to research of the above underlined words. But for the individual, the result at best is to go to jail. And at worst, go to the lake of fire. You got to learn what these terms mean. Now, I give you on freedom-school.com, there's 18 pages, I believe, to today's lesson. That's a fair amount of homework. And a whole bunch of it, you're going to have to look over it and study it. Because if you don't, you ain't going to get it. And if you think you can read it once and get it, and you actually read it once and get it, would you please call me? I would really like to, you know, go over all your material. I had to go over this a whole bunch of times. And I'm not exactly in kindergarten on this stuff. Okay, read this stuff. You need to understand jurisdiction and simplification. It means who is your ruler? Who's your king? Who's your master? What can that ruler do to you? What are the rules for his game? And then I ask you, how many different types of jurisdiction are there? If you don't know all those things, you need to do a little homework, don't you think? Now, I'm going to delve into just a little bit of some individual history here. My dad's name was John E. Kerr, and his researcher was Charles Franklin Taylor. Mr. Taylor, when I was around him, he knew anytime I asked him anything about the United States Code, he just boom, 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 verbatim. Anything I asked him about Florida statutes, boom, verbatim. He was so intelligent that almost nobody could talk to the guy. He would totally overwhelm you. And my dad said, Mr. Taylor brings me anywhere from 12 to 14, 16 inches of paper on a certain particular case we're working on. And my job is to, being my dad, his job was to sort all of that paperwork down to the quarter inch that my dad could present to the court and to the jury. Now, 100% of what Mr. Taylor brought to my dad was 100% correct. But, you know, individuals can only swallow so much. And most of those judges, you know, they really get overwhelmed quick. And you have to break things down so that the non-legal-minded individual can understand them also. You got to, you know, get down to the level of normal communication. It's kind of a shame that our judicial system is set up that way. My dad also told me, he said that a genius knows what he knows, and he is real smart on his areas of intelligence. And I brought into a few geniuses. However, my dad told me that a really intelligent man, a truly intelligent man, learns how to form the questions. And anyone who hears those questions can seek the answers. That is what he told me is the true sign of intelligence. So when I walk in front of somebody that it happens to think they're one of my adversaries, I ask them questions. I ask them questions that they don't want to answer or questions that they cannot answer. And through my hunt for the methods to come out of Babylon, it takes me the longest amount of time to figure the question. Now, once I get the question, now I know it's just a question of doing some hunting. You know, I kind of like hunting deer. Of course, I harvest. I don't hunt. I kind of enjoy, you know, fishing, but I don't fish. I harvest fish. Difference in terminology. I enjoy that process, and I enjoy the process of running down thoughts. Sometimes it can take a month. Sometimes it can take 2 or 3 years to run it down. But if I've still got that question in my head, I'm going to keep on looking. Now, we're going to move on to something on page 3, and it's called the Notorious Declaration. And there's a long typed-out story in at freedom-school.com. And it's typed out over the course of 3 different pages. Pages 3, 4, and 5. And I'm going to give you a real brief synopsis. I did not like handicapped parking. My family had polio, and I'm very aware of what it is to have handicap or disabilities in your family. But at that time, I was a 14th Amendment citizen, and I felt like this is incorrect because the government was making a provision for individuals to allow them to get closer to the front door of a store. And I watched individuals park in the handicap spot, be 50, 75 feet closer, go into Wally World, spend 2 or 3 hours walking around. And I said, you know, I don't like this. Besides, you know, if I can figure this out, maybe this will be another thorn in government's side. So I kept doing homework, and then all of a sudden I discovered something. I said, whoa, buddy, I got him. I was so floored by what I discovered, I said, "But I better get on down and visit with my dad." I was in Orlando. He was in Miami. And I showed my dad, and he was floored, as I've been floored, because the ramifications were immense. Thousands upon thousands of felony criminals could have gotten new trials for what I'd discovered. Anyway, at the same time, I wanted to test this. And I knew that I had to make sure that I was doing correct, so we got some two or three judicious attorneys that would keep their mouths shut, and they went to work in Dade and Broward County, that's in Florida. And they just, we got them to use some goopy-type misdemeanors to do the test on, and as soon as they brought they had a sidebar with the judge, they walked up to the judge and showed him what they found. The judge dropped the gavel and said, "Case dismissed, all charges dropped." Wow, pretty heavy. Didn't want that happening to murderers and rapists and kidnappers and drug users and bank robbers and all that stuff either. So anyway, now I knew I had some pretty good ammo. And I wanted to now find at least 3 police officers, members of law enforcement, in one location right by a handicap spot. And I ran around Orlando for 3 or 4 months, and I could never find but like one guy close to handicap parking. And I kind of forgot it. I mean, you know, I hadn't totally forgot it, but I just, you know, couldn't find him. And then one day, lo and behold, a blessing occurred. There were 11 City of Orlando police officers in front of a 7-Eleven, 2 unmarked cars, one on the left, one on the right of a handicap, 2 cops in each one. And 7 bicycle cops. They got bicycle cops down there. They got badges and everything. And all 7 of them basically were parked in the handicap spot. So I pulled up, beat my horn, made them move out of the handicap spot. And I pulled in. Of course, I didn't have a handicap parking spot. I thought that was kind of fun. Well, we're going to move fast forward up to the court. And I knew that I was going into what you would call a district or a city, one of these, you know, municipal courts. Wasn't a circuit court where you have a clerk of the court, a recorder, and a seal for your court. That's just some administrative thing. Now, I know never to go in those things, but I wanted to prove to myself that with the things that I thought I knew, which always work in a circuit court, that I could go in there and do all the things in the municipal city type of court, and they wouldn't work. Pretty stupid on my behalf, wouldn't it? But I wanted to see, because I figured, you know, if I couldn't do anything in one of them city courts, well, how could the average dude go and do anything in one of them city courts? Maybe a little arrogant on my behalf or something, I don't know, but I wanted to see. So I was kind of being an idiot. Anyway, the day before that I went into that city court, I filed my first notorious declaration. That was going to be my ace in the hole. I went into the courtroom. They had 26 uniforms, 4 or 5 obvious undercover cops, and there were some other guys. I don't know who they were. Still to this day, I don't know who they are. But there were no other civilians there. I did my whole routine, and everything I did, the city judge, didn't matter what you say in those courtrooms, because they don't care what you say. Doesn't matter what U.S. Supreme Court case you say. No, it doesn't matter what what Florida Supreme Court case you cite. Doesn't matter. They're in there for one reason, to get you money. Find you guilty. So, eventually, that's what happened to me. Judge says you're guilty. Says you're going to have to sign this paper. I said, absolutely not. I'm not signing a contract with you. This big guy pulls out a big nightstick, comes walking over. And when he raised his hand over his head, I folded both my arms over my chest. And I said, give me at least 15 or 20 stitches. I need some more money. The judge, the so-called judge, said, let him go. Well, from that day forward, there's never appeared on my record And I had it checked. There was no outstanding warrant. They didn't charge me any money because I didn't sign their contract. I wasn't about to sign their contract. Now, I walked out of here there after losing every single issue in front of that judge. And the only thing I had done the day before was file and record my very first notorious declaration. Now, you might want to try and say that I'm trying to make this up or put more credence on the notorious declaration, but I experienced it. And I'm telling you, it was phenomenal. Will the same thing happen to you? I don't know. I'm not here to tell you that. I'm just telling you what happened to me. Anyway, I then proceeded to... I actually had some lawyer types up in Tallahassee, Florida, where it's the capital of Florida. I had them sitting in the AG's, Attorney General's office, and presenting to them what I had found. And the short of the story is that I pulled all the city badges of all the city cops in the state of Florida from 1995, retroactive 1971. Now, I only enforced it on the city of Orlando because I didn't want to create chaos. And the governor called a special meeting of the Florida legislature, and this is in the records. And we did not get any murderers, rapists, or bad guys, really bad guys, a new trial. But the city cops of Orlando were not allowed to arrest and book anybody, individuals, till the Florida legislature got this thing going. They were allowed to take them into custody, take them over to the Orange County Sheriff's Department, and then the sheriff's deputies up there would arrest them and book them. And the point was made. Now, can you find out that all your city cops were removed? I don't know. I found it in Florida. And in an act of just profound intelligence, the Florida legislature had meant to revoke repeal a couple sentences in the chapter of law called Municipal Police Power. And then in a stroke of just pure genius, they typed it up and revoked the entire chapter, Municipal Police Power. Now, anybody may go check this out. I did it, and thousands of attorneys over the course of 24 years down in the state of Florida didn't learn what I learned because I kept dogging it and dogging it and dogging it. And finally I said, and everybody said, this can't be anything wrong with this. And I said, well, looky here, the whole chapter's gone. But I wasn't afraid to keep dogging it and to keep looking. You got to believe in what you're after. Now, do I have anything against folks with a handicap parking? No, I really don't. I just don't think it's correct. You know, my dad was paralyzed from the waist down. I'm the only guy in the history of the world that has had polio 3 times, and I'm in pretty good physical shape. I was never crippled. I never had a handicap parking. My dad never had a handicap parking. Our family doesn't believe in that. We believe in getting up and whatever the Lord lays on you, learn how to deal with it. See you after the bottom of the hour. Thank you.
Problems just a toy balloon. They'll be bursting soon. They're just bound to go pop.
Oops, there goes another problem curve.
Oops, there goes another problem curve.
Oops, there goes another problem curve.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite. Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines, 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the Big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars, too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use. And then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at firstamendmentradio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from firstamendmentradio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at firstamendmentradio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
Once I get you up there where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so very near. You might even hear a whole gang of cheers just because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a cuckoo day. You just say those words and we'll take our birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon. Oh, babe, come fly with me. Let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, the view of each of you that have eyes and ears. And I'd like to relate something to you. I'm not doing this to be on an ego trip. And I'll give you a little short story. There was a fine young man that grew up to be a pretty good man when I was in school. His first name was David, and he never played football throughout any elementary, junior high, or high school. He never played football in college. But do you know he's a high school football coach today? And I don't want to walk out on a field with a football coach who's never, ever strapped a helmet on and learned what it is to not smash and bash into other people and do a good job. And I am sick and tired of listening to people that theorize. And I don't know any other way except to relate exactly what's happened to me and the stories that I've done. And I'm not anybody special. I'm just one individual that is not going to tolerate this. And I'm not about to sit around and wait till, 10,000, 100,000 people so we can all have protection. Oh, my God. No, you stand up and you go forward, each of us individually. And then all of a sudden we'll look up and say, wow, look at all the trees in the forest. Where'd they all come from? Don't wait for everybody else. Stand up and demonstrate your status. Think about it. You want to wait for all the idiots? The idiots are never going to wake up. There's only ever been about 5 to 10% of the people in the history of mankind that ever stand up and demonstrate that they've got something in them. The masses are always wrong. The masses are always whining and crying, give us another handout. We can't do anything. We can't even blow our nose. Mommy, tie my shoes. I'm 14 years old. That's what the masses do. There's a very small minority of us, folks, and we're going to stand up and we're going to grab the buzzards by the throat. We're going to look them in the eye and we're going to prove that they're liars. And then the Lord's going to do away with them. We're not going to have to do anything much except stand directly in the shadow of the Lord and stand directly by Him. The very first law, or very first item, 101 that you learn in, you know, law school, is jurisdiction is determined by the pleading. Now, that's what you talk about, what you write when you're in front of a court. But you have to demonstrate by action what your status is. That's why we're going to talk about this notorious declaration and a declaration that happens in the last 20 minutes. Now, on page 6 of this chapter 3, part A, that is on freedom-school.com, and I want to one more time tell y'all, if you think you can look on your computer screen and get this stuff, you're wrong. You have to have the paperwork, actual physical paper. And this, you're going to see this week. Page 6, you've got notes on. It tells you to go to page 7, look at page 8, back and forth. And you have to have those pages. You cannot sit there and flip a computer screen back and forth. You're going to be looking for little small details. And I suggest to you that if you skip looking at the notes on these notorious declarations, you're going to not get it. Oh, you're going to think, oh, I just fill one out like this. And you won't know what you're doing. And you won't have any confidence because you skipped the step called becoming competent. You can't skip steps. Okay, now, jurisdiction is determined by the pleading. So we're going to begin with this notorious declaration. Well, what is a notorious declaration? What is the basis? Why are we allowed to have something like that? Well, here's an example. How about the Declaration of Independence? That was a declaration of notorious. It is a declaration of note. A declaration of notoriety. Something that is declared to everybody, to the world, and to your master, the Christ. This is establishing the jurisdiction, the characteristics, your status. Now, I've had people say, well, why do you put the first one out, and then the second one out, and then the third one out, and then the fourth one out? Well, because I made mistakes on the first three. And I think that individuals, if you fail to see where I did not do as good a job on the first couple, and then I said, wow, I can make this better, wow, I can make that better. You need to see the differences to understand and ask yourself the question, why? Look at this. This language is completely different in the on by now to page 10 on Notorious Declaration number 2. And you need to contemplate, why did that language change? And do you, not me, do you think that when you get to the Notorious Declaration number 2, do you think it sounds a little better? Do you think it's a little stronger? Now, I don't know what you think, but I'm not too unhappy with it. I think it's fairly good. I actually, in my opinion, have gone over it, and I have found 2 items that I want to change. And I'm not really ready to do that. I will be doing it soon. I want you to if you got your computer on or if you downloaded your paperwork last week, I want you to run down to item number 5. And it says, I am not a Christian, nor a Christian person, nor any type of religious sect as defined in federal or state codes. When you're running around and calling yourself a Christian, you are defined in the United States Code. And anything that you say, you've got to get one of your Christian bishops or popes or pontificates to say that what you're claiming is in their religious rules. And you're not going to have an easy time. I challenge you. Where it says in the Word of God, where the Christ says, think not that I come for any others but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I've been trying for 19 years to find a Bible where it says, the Christ says, think not that I come for any others but for the lost sheep of the house of Christians. Haven't found that. And guess what? The Father's law is not codified. They don't have any procedures to deal with you. You go call yourself a Christian? Now, I could go into something in scriptures about that, too, but I'm not today. I'm going to save that for a few weeks. But when you walk around, you say, I'm a Christian. I got Christian values. Okay, great. Maybe you do. Maybe you're not one of the Christians that says it's okay to kill babies. Maybe you're not one of the Christians that says it's okay to have queers be the minister of your church. Maybe you're the good type of individual. Maybe you just didn't read where the Word of God says he's coming for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay? Maybe you didn't read that. I'm not trying to put you down. But there's all kinds of Christians out there that participate in every single type of abomination the Word of God says is going to put them in hell. And I'm not suggesting that all Christians do that, but the same title Christian, they do that stuff. And they're all codified. So when you say you're a Christian, you're establishing jurisdiction that under the United States Code. Think about it. Please think about it. Now I'm going to move real quickly into something called the Declaration of Inhabitants. Now I'll point out very clearly to you the reason that I do not have a revocation of residency is because I was aware of these items and I was moving from Florida to Arkansas. So I was very aware of the fact that once I got to Arkansas and I had a permanent location, that I only had a certain amount of time to act without needing a revocation of residency. And I point out to people, you cannot just jump out there and do this stuff. Listen to the entire 26 weeks. Read it. Think about it. Become eyes wide. I've got people call me, well, I want to do a declaration of inhabitants right now. Now, you can't do that, folks. If you do, you're not going to know how to do it. You're going to see just this paperwork here. You're not going to understand everything. Okay, so I don't have a revocation of residency. Most folks will need one. I have been encouraged, and before 26 weeks are up, I will type up on a piece of paper of what I would use if I was in that circumstance. Now, in almost every state that I've looked at, once you come to that particular state, or once you're in a state, there's an amount of time that once you're there, you automatically become a resident. Okay, now we're going to fast forward a little bit. You can look up and read in the 14th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, and it says, and I'm just going to paraphrase, and is a resident of the state in which they reside. And you're also a resident, you're a citizen of the United States, and you're a resident. Bingo bango. If you want to do a short study, go back and see when the word resident appeared in your state statutes. Didn't happen automatically or originally. It was many, many years later that the word resident starts popping up. Because that's a corporate individual. That's an individual who is under the jurisdiction of your government. Anyway, you got so many days, and you automatically become a resident. Okay. A resident is a person. go read your state statutes. You've got to look at your state statutes. And it says, any person that does this, or it'll say, it is illegal for any person to do that. It doesn't use the word any individual. Think. Person and individual are spelled differently. They have different meanings in law. And don't go to that goofy black law dictionary. A retired judge, Bob Webster, and I think it was 89 or 90, we became so frustrated with these wigs walking around saying, well, Black's Law Dictionary says that. Well, that's how they put that out for people to get in trouble. You find out what a word means by reading a U.S. Supreme Court case or your state Supreme Court case. Black's Law Dictionary is to go to jail on. And we burned our Black's Law Dictionary in a public display trying to tell everybody, you got to stop just reading Black's Law Dictionary. All that does is tell you how the word spells. Now you got to go look it up and find out what it means in case law. And yet people sell these Black's Law Dictionaries for ungodly amounts of money, and then people wonder why they go to jail. Because no one sat there and told you this. I'm going to read you a quote. Neither doth God, and I put in brackets, the totally aware one, that's the Father, respect any person. 2 Samuel 14:14. Another quote. Thou shalt not respect persons. Deuteronomy 16:19. Now I'm going to give you another quote, different way. The right of the people to keep and bear arms. Amendment 2 of the United States Constitution. It does not say the right of the person. Persons and people are spelled differently, and in case law, they're different individuals. Your state statutes don't say people, it says person. Think on one word. Another quote, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Amendment 14, United States Constitution. Now, in Amendment 2, you got the word people. In Amendment 14, you got the word person. Just contemplate. They're not spelled the same. They're not pronounced the same. Can you imagine they got a different definition? That's what this is about, thinking. And getting your language correct and understanding what words mean. Now there's some verbiage that follows after that through page 12. I have only done one declaration of inhabitant, and I can find an improvement in two nominal areas, and I type this, in which I am not too concerned. So the very next paragraph, I point out my errors. It says sovereign land should be sovereign's land. God should be the totally aware one. And my last sentence is, of course, now I will have to redo my first declaration of inhabitants or suffer the penalty of arrogance by saying I am not too concerned. So now I've got some more homework to do because I said that. I typed it and I thought it in my head and I wasn't too concerned. And it's going to bite me in the butt if I don't get, you know, busy in the next week or two and make those corrections and file it correctly. And it'll bite you in the butt when you know that you're not too concerned. And I couldn't believe I actually typed that, and I said, oh, my God, look what I just said. Now you got to correct that because you've actually put it on paper. You've been an idiot, Jerry. Okay. I don't know how to go over all these different items with you in the course of 50 or 55 minutes. It is up to you to do your homework. On page 15 and page 16, I throw in my address, and I do some nominal discussion about the address in this thing. And these are photocopies of envelopes that have come in to me. And I have an 8-line address. And you'll see the exact photocopy. You'll see, I've received hundreds of these over the years. And I get it. I get my envelopes. I don't have problems. Now, periodically, some somebody that doesn't understand the laws that they operate by in the postal system, they'll write a zip code in pen on the envelope. That doesn't matter to me. I go ahead and I accept that envelope because they broke the law by altering mail or post. Not allowed to alter it. And on top of it, my address is there. Now, I've received probably more items without somebody breaking the law and adding the zip code for my area. But the point of the exercise is for you to be able to see that the barcode of the computer scans my address. I mean, the computer scans my address, and then it prints barcode on. Now, the postal attorney of the United States Post Office or Postal Service are actually some of the best in the country. They know about certain cases. They know not to get into lawsuits that will cost them a whole bunch of money. That's why their computers are set up to recognize the terminology non-resident, non-domestic delivery. Because I'm not a resident, and I'm not domestic. Domestic means that you are under federal control. Domestic means you volunteered to join the 10-square-mile area known as Washington, D.C. They didn't tell you this, but that's what the law says. You volunteered and said, hey, I'm putting my hat right up there in D.C., and I'm going to join the D.C. or the dysfunctional critters. But that's what the courts have said. Oh, and I do happen to have a number of U.S. Supreme Court cases that state use of a zip code gives us jurisdiction in this matter, and I'll be bringing those out in the coming weeks. Okay? We have been dumbed down for decades, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not blaming this on my daddy, my teachers, or anybody else. I'm blaming it on me, Jerry F. Kerr. And we have to stop. We have to think. We need to ask questions. We need to quit listening to patriots for profit. We need to stop looking for a silver bullet. We need to listen. We need to stop listening to glittering generalities. We need to work very hard. We must understand that only a very few will actually accomplish. We must not wait for the masses. They will never wake up. They are always wrong. They always cry and cry. We must return to the Father's law. We must return to our Master, the Christ. Only. And our failure to do that will cause us tons and tons of agony, weeping and gnashing of our teeth. This is how we will do it, by returning to our Master. Allow Him to be the hand, as He talks about in the Old Testament, that wants to gather His baby chicks under His wings. Allow Him to wipe our tears. But He will not help us until we demonstrate the jurisdiction that we decide that we have the ability to claim. We have to serve Him. No man can serve two masters. If that doesn't get to you, you need to go listen to some bebop music. Go listen to somebody like Glenn Beck. He'll tell you all these glittering generalities. Go listen to Rush Limbaugh. Go listen to the whining criers, the doomsdayers, so you can, golly, let a little steam off. Take your steam, let it keep building and building and building. Control your rage. And go to work. Become a man, become a woman, and stand up to your Master. Declare that you are a servant, that you are a slave of your Master, the Christ. Declare that you are in bondage to Him. You know that's called a political issue to the courts in this country? They're not allowed to hear a political issue. Now, they won't tell you it's political, but when you go in there and you're under their jurisdiction, whambo. When you're under his jurisdiction, they don't want to talk to you. It is only necessary to plead foreign jurisdiction, not to prove it. In a few weeks, I'll give you the Supreme Court case citation, give you the name. Only necessary to plead foreign jurisdiction, not to prove it. However, I like to prove it. And in my paperwork, I can say, I'm going to use the entire book of the law to prove what I'm in, because I want to read the whole book to them. Page one to the very last page. You want to bring me in your courtroom? This is my law. Let's go over it for a couple, 2 or 3 weeks. I read slow. I want you all to think about this, and I hope you'll please do your homework. There's an awful lot of paperwork, and the paperwork's going to pick up. In the coming weeks, you're going to be getting 30, 40 pages a week to go over. And, you know, the first 6 weeks, been kind of easy. Now, next week's kind of easy, actually. It's only got 5, 6 pages, but it's a thinker. And you got to do the homework. You got to contemplate. You know, I don't charge anything. I don't sell anything. You can't send me any monetary donations. But guess what? You get to do some homework. You don't do your homework, that's not necessarily going to cause a crisis on my behalf. I'm fulfilling my obligation of Ezekiel chapter 33 as best I can. I wish I could do a better job. I hope some of y'all will listen in this coming Wednesday, 7 to 9 o'clock in the morning, the Morning Liberty Show on RBN. And I don't know where RJ is going to want to go, but wherever he wants to go, I'm going to try and participate and try and assist folks. And this is called First Amendment Radio, and I think that they should appreciate First Amendment, freedom of speech, and that they should want this out. And I sure hope it doesn't upset them that I might actually also be getting another 2-hour radio show in the near future. And if I do, I'll let you all know about it. But some other folks have, you know, done some homework, and they say, golly gee, we think we could have you on for another 2 hours on a completely other different network than this one, too. Anyway, thank you very much, and may blessings be laid upon those with eyes and ears.
To rush would be a crime, 'cause nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it every time. Like the man says one more time. Nice and easy.